Thanks for joining us as we are going to go into a very timely message tonight, dealing with a recent, very popular film and some of what is going on with that. So we have a lot to cover. We're going to get right into this. We're going to start with our scripture reading, which is found in Ephesians 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, which says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Our message for this installment is entitled, "The Dark Road to Wakanda." The Dark Road to Wakanda. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word and to look at things that are happening right now. Lord, I know this is controversial and for some even challenging that I would even speak on this topic tonight. Father God, I am asking now that your Holy Spirit fill this place and fill this message. Speak, Lord. Make me just a nail on the wall. Father God, you take control as you hang a portrait of Christ upon that nail. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this message was born out of the realization that there are many Christians, but especially African-American Christians, were very excited about the recent movie release, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And so, obviously these movies have been coming out from Marvel that highlight many of the things we're going to talk about, but I think what was quite interesting to me, maybe even disturbing, is that churches, even some of our Adventist churches, or at least one, would rent out the movie theater or sell tickets to the movies themselves for parishioners to go and see the movie. And so I really want to break this thing down a bit as to the danger of us getting involved with some of this. So let's go to the book of Acts to start off with. Chapter 19, I'll quickly go through a Bible story to set this up and to make some points. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought in unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you, Jesus, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of priests, which did so." So let's recap what we've got so far. Go back to the first couple of verses. The Spirit of God was moving on the Apostle Paul. Paul was moving mightily as he was doing healings and so forth. In fact, Paul was so filled with the Holy Spirit that if a handkerchief or an apron of his touched people, the diseases would depart them and evil spirits went out of them. This was not to say that there's some magic in handkerchiefs or aprons, but the Spirit of God and people understood the faith of Paul and his faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost would work these great miracles. Certain vagabond Jews, and these men, their career were to be exorcists. They were to work against devils, but they weren't true blue. And so they went and found someone who, people who were possessed and tried to use Paul's mechanism. So they went and they took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And obviously this brings to light one of the key themes of what we're going to talk about in this message. And that is, you cannot go out in spiritual warfare with someone else's Jesus. And unfortunately, because of the world of entertainment we have, the constant distraction, the TikTok, the YouTube, the Instagrams, many of us are being disconnected from God, but we think we still have his power. Seven sons of Sceva, chief priests, they did this. They got to the wrong demon, and the demon And the devil and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? In the original Greek, where it says, Jesus I know, it speaks of Jesus in an authoritative way, different than how it speaks of Paul. The demon says, listen, I know Jesus. I know who he is. He's got some great power. And Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as a disciple of Christ, he has power. But wait a minute, who are you? Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. The demon-possessed man beat seven of them, and he beat the clothes off of them. That's a bad beatdown. He beat them out of their clothes, and they went running out of the house, wounded and naked. Now watch this. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Remember Ephesus? And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When they heard this, that the demon recognized by authority who Jesus was, but he whooped the guy who was playing around with the name of Jesus, many of them were afraid. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They realized in that moment that you cannot play with the things of God. You can't mix the holy with the profane. You can't mess with it like that. Verse 19, many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They took the stuff in their house that did not align with God and that was tied to the occult and witchcraft and spiritualism. And rather than even sell them, they burned them. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I remember when I was a kid, I loved comic books. Marvel more than DC. I loved Marvel comic books. Spider-Man and Fantastic Four. My favorite was the Incredible Hulk. And I started reading these things back when they were in, still, and some of them were in their infancy. And I remember a guy came to church and preached a message like I'm going to preach tonight. And my mother said, all your comic books have to go. We had to cut up all our comic books, and we tried to find ways to cut them, to keep them. We cut them up, got rid of them. And there are times later on, I said, man, if my mother had just let me keep those comic books, I'd be able to sell them now. Let me tell you something. What my mother made me do was the right spiritual move. I needed to know that inherent to those books was a spirit of deception that you can't pass on to someone else, even for a price. They must be destroyed. That's why the price of what these books were worth is mentioned here. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. As they removed these things, the word of God grew and it prevailed. I want you to get this. The church will be weak when it keeps these books, these spiritualism affected entertainment and instruction devices. If the church holds on to those things, it's difficult for the same time for the word of God to grow and prevail. In other words, there is a battle, and if among the people of God, we are holding on to the things of spiritualism, whether in superstition or in astrology or in a belief in reincarnation or of ancestor worship, if we are holding on to those things, the word of God is going to be blunted and stunted because other spirits will be at work. There are churches right now that are not successful in what they're trying to do because they are still playing with spiritualism. Watch this. Acts of the Apostle, page 290, speaking on this. Ellen White says, could the veil be lifted from before our eyes? We should see evil angels employing all their arts to deceive and destroy. Wherever an influence is exerted to cause men to forget God, there Satan is exercising his bewitching power. And once you get caught up in Marvel and DC and and all of this other stuff, you begin to forget God. The stories are so tantalizing. The Bible seems disinteresting. Church seems boring. In fact, you start saying things like, oh, I've heard all that stuff in church before, because there's always a new comic book coming out and now a new movie coming out. And Satan draws you in to this false storyline, this multiverse of deception. And so you get drawn into that and you get tied there. And all of a sudden, you no longer have interest in the things of God. And this is what the spirit of prophecy is saying. Wherever an influence is exerted to cause men to forget God, Satan is exercising his bewitching power. Watch this. When men yield to his influence, ere they are aware, the mind is bewildered and the soul polluted. When you yield to this influence, when the comic book characters are more important to you than the God of heaven. Let me tell you something. I've been to churches where they've blown up 16-foot balloon blow-up things of the Incredible Hulk. And, they've had Marvel themes inside the church. There are churches outside our denomination, inside our denomination that are doing this stuff. And I want you to understand, when men yield to his influence, Satan's influence, ere they are aware, the mind is bewildered, the soul is polluted. The apostles, look at what she says. The apostles' admonition to the Ephesian church should be heeded by the people of God today. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. In other words, don't start fellowshipping with this foolishness. Point out its error and let people know that this is something the people of God ought to have nothing to do with. She says, book Darkness Before Dawn, page 22. But rather than yield the liberty so agreeable to the carnal heart and renounce the sins which they love, multitudes close their eyes to the light and walk straight on, regardless of warnings, while Satan weaves his snares about them and they become his prey. And this is what the spirit, what the scripture says, the spirit of prophecy, quoting 2 Thessalonians 2:10-11, says, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They receive not the love of the truth. There are people who are so excited about the next Marvel movie, the next DC movie, Black Adam, and all kind of foolishness, and Superman, Wonder Woman, and all this foolishness. They're so excited about this stuff. They have a love for it, and they cannot have a love for that and fully have a love for the truth at the same time. And so God will allow them to be taken up in the delusion that these things present. Acts of the Apostles, page 474. The warnings of the word of God regarding the perils surrounding the church, the Christian church, belong to us today. As in the days of the apostles, men tried by tradition and philosophy to destroy faith in the scriptures, so today, by the pleasing sentiments of higher criticism, evolution, spiritualism, theosophy, and pantheism, the enemy of righteousness is seeking to lead souls into forbidden paths. He wants you exposed to this stuff. And nowadays, he has the movies to do it. He'll expose you to it, and you'll begin to follow down dark paths. This is a dark road to Wakanda. To many, the Bible is a lamp without oil, because they have turned their minds into channels of speculative belief that bring misunderstanding and confusion. And you can get this from the movies. The work of higher criticism in dissecting, conjecturing, reconstructing is destroying faith in the Bible as a divine revelation. I'm going to show you that in a minute. It is robbing God's word of power to control, uplift, and inspire human lives. And here's what she says, Acts of the Apostles, page 474, Ellen White says, by spiritualism, by what? By spiritualism, multitudes are taught to believe that desire is the highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself. Did you all get that? How does the moral decline of our society catch its speed and take off? By spiritualism. If the devil is going to throw this world into moral chaos, as the spirit of God is being withdrawn, one of the things that are going to be highlighted and evident everywhere is spiritualism. The Christian who is fooled is going to have to move to a place where they believe that this stuff doesn't affect them, that it's not really that deep, it's not really that dangerous, it's just entertainment. I can control it. But you don't understand, as we will see, that it is controlling you. Let me give you some examples. So I've shown this in some of my talks before. This is bottom right corner, Aleister Crowley, who says, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." This is a Satanist. He's a cultist, is really a better way to say it. You see Anton LaVey above him, who started the Church of Satan, and to the left, John Lennon, who says the whole Beatles idea was to do what you want, do what thou wilt, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. So John Lennon quotes the occultist, Aleister Crowley. But look who else does. This Jay-Z on his shirt, it says, "Do what thou wilt." Some argue the greatest rapper of all time. But look at what his wife Beyonce does. Now I want you to see this picture. This is her levitating in a church, and you can tell it's a church. If you look in the back, there's some crosses, and you see the candles on all there. This is from her recent album. The song is called Church Girl. I'm just going to read this to you, and I want you to see, before we get deeper into Wakanda forever, I want you to see the impact that spiritualism can have on people. These are the lyrics, and I cut some words out because I didn't know what they mean. Ooh, ooh, I want to be centered. I want to be centered in thy will. I'm warning everybody, soon as I get this in this part, well, let me stop and say, that part there where she says, "I want to be centered in thy will," they sample the Clark Sisters' gospel song of a similar name or the same name to make this. And so this is really a parody, really to me, a mockery of the original song and a mockery of the purpose of that song, which is to be centered in the will of God and not in yourself. Not in your own, what you want to do, which is what spiritualism teaches. So no wonder she's levitating. You don't see people levitating in church. You see people levitating in magic shows and where demonic things are happening. But watch this. She says, "I'm warning everybody, soon as I get in this party, I'm going to let go of this body. I'm going to love on me. Nobody can judge me but me. I was born free." Now look at what she says. Bad girl acting naughty, church girl don't hurt nobody. So she's a bad girl partying. Nobody can judge her, even though the Bible says that judgment has been given to Jesus. He will judge her eventually. She says, "I'm a bad girl acting naughty, church girl don't hurt nobody." Spiritualism, Ellen White said, is the road that leads to moral decline, where people say, you know, I can do whatever I want, which is exactly what this song and many other songs say. But I want to show you what one article, one publication, they wrote an article about this song, and they said, "Beyonce's Church Girl has black Christian women going, that's me." Did you get that? No, but then it says, "Nobody can judge me but me. I was born free." They say, since she's made this song, all these black Christian women are saying, you know what? That's me. You know, I'm in the party and it's all about me. This is antithetical to being a Christian. A Christian is under the will of God, not doing what they want. Enter Wakanda forever. You see, the strongest group of Protestants in the United States are African Americans. In fact, if you look at sub-Saharan Africa, it is one of the strongest Protestant parts of the world. Interestingly enough, this movie picks fun at Christians, as does the other movie I'm going to talk a little bit about, the last Thor movie, Thor: Love and Thunder. These movies actually pick fun at, criticize, and mock Christ and Christianity. If you listen carefully, you'll hear it and see it. But it's interesting because the devil knows that one of the strongest pieces, and I remember being at a meeting with some very high-ranking people from some very high-ranking communities in this country, very powerful people, and while I was working in public health, and I remember one of them saying, "We've got to get the black church." They said, "We got to get the black church." Why? Because the black church is still preaching a straight gospel on many cultural issues today that people don't want to hear a straight gospel on. And I wonder if the rise of what we're seeing with Beyonce's music, with I've talked in some other talks about the new witchcraft and this activist spiritualism as activism, Black Lives Matter, how they talk about it, it's the spiritualism that they use, that it's a spiritual movement. They pour out libations to their gods. They call on Nigerian goddesses. They actually say that they are animated by the spirits of those whom the police killed. And so you're seeing spiritualism, pastors, churches marching with them as they call down demons to march. So here's the attack. Wakanda forever. You can see all the picture there, all the stars in the movie and all this stuff. When the first Black Panther came out, the Washington Post put out this article. And let me tell you something. If you don't want to believe what the Bible says, and you don't have to believe me, I'm going to show you that the world recognizes what I'm saying. Here's one of these articles from, this is back in 2018. It says, March of 2018, it says, "The surprising religious backstory of Black Panther's Wakanda." The Washington Post understood that this was not simply a movie, it was a religious movie. That this was a movie that once you watched it, they were introducing you to a religious practice. And let me name some of them. Ancestor worship, pagan god worship, in many ways, voodoo through the heart-shaped leaf that they would eat to get the powers. That's what they were introducing you to. So here's where it gets interesting. Forbes had an article, "Why is Black Panther selling out?" And look at who's buying it. Activists, churches, schools buy thousands of tickets. And this was to the first Black Panther movie. And it's happened with the second Black Panther movie that even churches, some of our own churches, or at least one, bought out or sold tickets for people to go and see the movie. And so that's why it does so well. But why would the Church of the Living God want to introduce people to what I'm about to show you? Here it is, Rotten Tomatoes on their website. They say weekend box office results. This is from last weekend. Black Panther Wakanda Forever scores biggest November opening ever. Did you get that? Post-pandemic, when the movies are sluggish, the theaters are sluggish, ever. Ryan Coogler's emotional superhero sequel didn't earn as much as its predecessor, but its $180 million tally almost makes it the second biggest opening, also makes it the second biggest opening of this year, 2022. Second biggest opening in November, not normally a big movie month, but here it is, right? In fact, they go on to say here, Black Panther's massive opening weekend made Marvel history. The film is expected to make $218 million over President's Day holiday. So the first one, this is talking about that one, in 2018, made $218 million the first weekend. This one made $180 million. These movies are making a lot of money, which means a lot of people are watching them. And it is, there's power in what Hollywood is trying to do. Remember Hollywood, you've probably heard it before, Merlin's magic wand. Remember Merlin from King Arthur's court? He had a magic wand and it was made out of holly. So the magic wand is made of Hollywood. There's magic in Hollywood, and Hollywood itself has been pushing this for a long time. Let me go back, and we'll come back to this movie. But you remember, if you grew up in the 60s and 70s, you remember TV shows like Bewitched, which beautiful, innocent-looking woman who's a powerful witch and her kind of dumb husband who ran around with her, right? And so here's Bewitched. They started introducing this to the American populace. The next one was a show called I Dream of Jeannie. And which was also very popular and introduced you to the idea that you could rub a bottle and a genie pop out, which is a genius from the, if you go back to Arabic and, you know, you go to the word jinn, which is the word for demon or spirit. So here I dream of genie. I dream of spirits, basically, right? Hollywood has dropped a lot of spiritualism. These are pictures from the show Charmed. The top ones are the original cast, which were all white. The bottom one is the new cast, which is people of color, Latinas, and African-American, it looks like. So they're trying to diversify this thing to reach more people. We'll come back to that. But of course, there was big shows like Harry Potter. And J.K. Rowling, who wrote this, said that these characters just appeared to her in her dreams. And she wrote this thing that has been so popular. It was so big. The real witches said that they have the people sitting on the brooms the wrong way in the show. Children wrote to J.K. Rowling. You see on this slide here, children love this stuff. And you see them all pretending to be witches. As witchcraft grows and grows and grows. And children would write J.K. Rowling, said he want to be admitted to the Hogwarts school, and they want to attend. And she wrote back and said there's no such thing. And children were upset because one of the things you got to get out of this is that children cannot process the difference between reality and fantasy like adults can. It's not that children can't. But the more they're exposed to this stuff, the more they want to be absorbed into it, that ability can be worn down. One lady said, this is from Vox, this lady said, I didn't read Harry Potter when I was growing up, and I wasn't alone. And she says, a look back at religious opposition to J.K. Rowling's stories and what it says about that era. In other words, She and in this article, she talks about being a Christian, raised a Christian, and her parents wouldn't let her watch, or wouldn't let her read the books. And she's saying that that's a thing of the past now, she's saying. So she says some interesting things, and let me run through this quick. She says, some conservative Christians opposed Harry Potter as a gateway to the occult. Others sounded a note of caution. And she talks about James Dobson, who's a conservative Christian leader who sounded warnings about the books. She talks about Jack Chick Track, called The Nervous Witch, about Wiccan witchcraft. That even features a character who says she got into the craft or witchcraft through Harry Potter books. But then she says, look, this is where it gets scary. She says, not all conservative Christians opposed Harry Potter. There were Christians who thought it was good. There were also plenty of conservative Christian critics and leaders who leaned positive or outright supportive of the series from the start. One such Christian writer, John Granger, who was described in 2009 as the dean of Harry Potter scholars, is a Christian and the dean of a witchcraft series where the woman says they appeared, where the spells are real, has written extensively about the series' connection to Christian teachings in books such as Hidden Key to Harry Potter. And she tells her the books. And so this guy actually comes out and he says, listen, this is good. I'm a Christian, but you should be reading this. Well, there's no wonder that the United States witch population has seen an astronomical rise. In fact, years ago, I read an article that said the fastest growing religion in the United States is Wicca and witchcraft. It's no wonder that that's happening, because this is what children are seeing. And that's why Ellen White says in Manuscript 63 from 1892, paragraph 24, she says, if they talked darkness, they would have darkness in abundance. By beholding, we become changed into the same image. If they talked darkness, they would have darkness in abundance. So when you start reading this stuff, watching this stuff, talking this stuff, you get darkness in abundance because it's darkness. By beholding, we become changed. Enter now the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There was a time I actually bumped into Stan Lee, who was one of the founders of Marvel comic books, on a flight to Orlando. I happened to be sitting in the same class as he was, rode the train back with him, took pictures with him and everything, talked to him. I remember, because I grew up reading comic books and I thought it was so interesting. I was a Christian, but I was talking to him about how it all happened, and he didn't say that much, but we were able to ride together for a little while, and I heard him talking to the fans and so forth. And this Marvel Cinematic Universe has really taken off. One thing Stan Lee said in an interview, he said that they couldn't make these movies before this computer-generated imaging that they have now. Technology is why they can make these movies. They can put people in those suits with little balls on them, and a guy that's 6 foot tall can play 9 foot tall Thanos. The guy who plays Hulk can, a regular guy, but he can still have his face on the Hulk and his movements and his acting. The technology has allowed this. And they have launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it is incredibly lucrative and incredibly impactful on the minds of young people. So here's one article by John McCater, who says the gospel according to Marvel. So what they're saying is that Marvel is now a gospel. There's a whole thing. This other article says the morality behind Marvel superheroes, that there is a morality behind them. So they are going to teach a gospel. They're going to rewrite morals. What they say is right and wrong is what's going to become right and wrong. By beholding, the world will become changed. You ever ask how it is that people are going to get to where they would accept a Sunday law? Part of it is going to be that they're going to have a collective idea that they are supposed to save the world. And if having a Sunday law would save the world, that morality is what is taught in these comic books. More on that maybe later. Then, of course, just like with the Charm, they did, here it is, a push for superheroes to represent minorities. So Captain America went from white to black. They have a Pakistani superhero I think her name is Ms. Marvel. They have the Asian superhero in Shang-Chi. And all of these things are popping up and becoming super popular. And, of course, by beholding, we become changed. You know what happens? As these people become godlike figures in society, all these superheroes, one of the things paganism has always done is brought the gods down to the level of men. They behave like men, and ultimately they start to look like men. It's one of the reasons why people argue over what color Jesus was. They want Jesus to look like them. That is a paganism that they're doing. When they're adamant that Jesus must be black like them or white like them, is because you want to bring God down to you rather than bringing you up to God by the development of character. But let's get a little more deep, right? So we're talking about Marvel. They're representing all these people, all the magic, all the powers. Religion Unplugged has an article that I'm going to go through, and I didn't get all of it, so I'm going to have to make sense of it for you. But they have an article, Why Marvel Has Issues with God. I'm going to say that again. This is from July of this year. Joseph Holmes wrote the article, Why Marvel Has Issues with God. And they show a picture of the mighty Thor from Love and Thunder that came out this summer. Analysis. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has a new big bad, a new meaning, a new villain, a new supervillain, a new bad guy. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has a new big bad. Watch this. And it's God himself, this writer writes. In the past 14 years of pop culture dominance, Marvel movies have typically gone out of their way to be secular, keeping their social commentary to the socio-political. But no more. Watch this, church. Over the past year, most of the Marvel movies or shows released have had some version of God as the main villain. I don't think this is a Christian writing. I don't know. Since Marvel movies are arguably the most dominant pop culture franchise in the world today, exploring what they have to say about God tells us something about what our culture thinks about God and gives us the opportunity to explore and to challenge it. So what do Marvel movies say about God? So this guy is saying that Marvel does not like God. And I would agree that when you look at Thanos, Thanos is like God. He comes from a planet called Titan or something like that. And he comes to Earth and he has the power to ultimately gets the power to knock out half the world. There's a scene at the end of one of the movies where it's like the secret rapture has happened and stuff is crashing, cars are crashing. And they want to blame that, of course, on God, that there's going to be some secret rapture. Or this horrible God would just eliminate big, huge portions of the universe like in the movie. But here's what Marvel says. What the article says about Marvel's view of God. God is evil. The first thing about how Marvel consistently portrays God characters in their movies and shows, as I alluded to earlier, is that they are all beings that present themselves as good, but they are secretly awful and usually evil. Did you get that? So this is talking about people like Loki, and people think I'm crazy when I say it, but when you look at the story of Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's a father, Odin, and there's two sons, Loki, who's adopted, and there is Thor. The one that gets kicked out of Asgard, thrown out of heaven, is Thor. He's the one with the lightning. The god of mischief is Loki, who gets to stay in Asgard. What they're saying is that who got cast out of heaven? Lucifer did. So Thor is literally Lucifer and the good guy. And Loki is supposed to represent Jesus and the bad guy. I could go through all their movies. There's a play on it like that that flips and inverts the story so that Lucifer becomes the good guy. It's what they do in the TV show Lucifer. Right? Lucifer is the good guy, solving all the crimes, getting rid of people. I've never seen the show, but you can read about it. And his brother is Michael, the archangel, who is the one that is a mess up and a problem. Now, we know that Michael, the archangel, is Christ himself. And yet, look at that. So Lucifer on the show, Lucifer is a good guy, and Michael's the bad guy. This is what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is also doing. And what will your children think about God if this is what they're watching? Now, watch this. It says, all of this should sound very familiar to anyone who grew up in a religious household, who either walked away from the faith or knew people or watched celebrities walk away from the faith. There is a reason that young people are increasingly leaving religion. They were taught that God is good, loving, powerful, frowns on homosexuality, frowns on premarital sex, and created them in six literal days. Now watch this. This is what the man says, is what Marvel is reflecting is happening in society. Then they suffered deeply, he says, had sex, met gay people, were abused by the church, learned about evolution, learned their church's oppressive and violent history, and watched their fellow Christians behave likewise. They became convinced that the God they were taught about isn't real or is more evil than good. He's saying, and this is what they're doing. They say, listen, Christianity is the source of slavery and oppression, which is a complete false statement. People were slave owners. And there were people have owned slaves forever. The fact that, and if you read the story, the parable of the wheat and tare, there are people who call themselves Christians who do evil things. That doesn't make Christ and Christianity evil. But this is what they're doing, and this is what the movies are doing. He goes on and he says, Moon Knight, which we'll talk more about Moon Knight, which is one of the series, I believe, that they had on the Disney channel, Disney streaming channel. Moon Knight has the most sophisticated solution to the problem of God. Watch this, church. The heroes don't try to kill their gods or even reject their gods because they know they need them in order to fight evil. Their solution, then, is to make a deal with their gods so that the humans and the gods will help each other as equals instead of humans being the god slaves. So what Marvel is teaching is that the gods, and his god is, I think, Khonshu or something like that, the gods can be brought down to be equals with the humans so that they work together to fight evil. Look at this. It says this is almost precisely how modern people renegotiated their relationship to God and the church in the modern world. As French philosopher Gilles Lipovetsky wrote in Hypermodern Times, a primary goal of entertainment reformers was to reshape institutions to give them less power over ordinary people. What institutions? They're saying that entertainment reformers wanted to reshape the church so it had less power over ordinary people. When we sit and watch this entertainment, we are literally allowing our minds to be shaped. And that's why some people are like, oh, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Really? Because the Bible outlines rules and regulations. It tells you a way to live. And so it's not just that you have a relationship. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you're going to keep commandments, then there's doctrine. In fact, the Bible says, that Paul and Timothy says, that the Bible is given, the word of God is good for instruction, for doctrine, for reproof, right? So you can't throw all of that out and say, I just want a relationship, because then you're doing what the demonic movement is doing through entertainment in order to expand a rebellion against the ways of God. Here's what it says. The article continues. The problem that both society and Moon Knight have with this solution is that people can't get the benefits of God if they treat him as an equal. Did you get that? I said, so you won't get the benefits only if they treat him as Lord. Moon Knight, to be free from Khonshu, that's his God's name, Khonshu's influence, has to give up his powers. See that? So Moon Knight has to give up his powers in order to be free of Khonshu's influence. Watch this. This is what the man says in the article. Likewise, the only people who reap the benefits of a relationship with God, such as drastically increased mental health, dramatically decreased likelihood of divorce, and moral reform and improvement, are the people who obey God and his commands like he is their master rather than a useful friend. These are the people who go to church when they don't want to, who pray when they don't want to, who become shaped into happier and more ethical people. Now, I don't know what side this guy is on, but he's saying, listen, the people who reap the benefits of a relationship with God, which is he's equating to like a superpower, are the ones who follow God no matter what. Huh. So what does Marvel do with God in the last Thor movie? They have a character, Gore the God Butcher. You can read about hopefully you don't watch these movies, but you can read about all this stuff online. The Gore the God Butcher. And so this guy, Gore, is trying to kill Thor, obviously, in the movie. Thor is supposed to be the God of Thunder. But it all starts early in the movie when he meets the God he worships. When he's a regular man, the world that he's in is like dried up, and his daughter dies in the destitution of a dry, destroyed world, which is obviously a play on the condition of our world with global warming. It's dry. There's nothing to eat. All of the followers of their god, I think his name is Rapu, who you see on the picture on the right, all of them, the people who follow, everyone dies. This is the last disciple. And he finally gets to Rapu. And you can see in the middle picture, he's lifting the man up and the god is choking him. Because when they meet and he's a faithful follower of him, he starts by eating fruit in a garden-like setting. And this god is upset that he's there. So you don't have to watch it. I actually took some of the words from the movie. I just copied them from online. Here it is, how God is viewed in Marvel. So watch this. Rapu, the bringer of light. That's the name of the god. So again, let's step back. Who is the bringer of light? Who said, let there be light? That was God, the God of heaven. So Rapu is to represent the God of heaven, clearly, because that's what it's saying. Rapu, the bringer of light. Oh, it's one of mine. Gore and Rapu. So Rapu says, oh, it's one of mine. He mocks the guy. Our faith in you never wavered, and now we await the promise of the eternal reward. So he said, the planet is destroyed. We kept our faith in you. We want our eternal reward. And look at what Rapu says to Gore. This is what Marvel wants you to believe about the God of heaven. Suffering for your gods is your only purpose. There's nothing for you after death except death. Look at the last thing he says. There's no eternal reward for you, dog. He calls him a dog. And this is how they want you to see Jehovah. There's no heaven waiting for you. You're just going to die. This is what Bob Marley said in the song, Get Up, Stand Up. Right? Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Somewhere else they say in the song, some other lyrics like that. Basically that, listen, you're a fool if you listen to the preacher because there is no heaven. So much so that in the same movie, they even represent who the great protector is. And this is an image of it. I think it's from the movie, that released earlier, Shang-Chi. And it is that the dragon is the great protector. Isn't that fascinating? The light bearer is horrible, but the dragon is the great protector. If I had time, I could go through all of this stuff to show you all of the symbolism. And anyone who's into Luciferianism and Satanism would see all of this because they don't just stop at entering this dragon as the great protector. Then they show you something called the multiverse. And this is where, and you can see the satanic symbol in the hand holding of the horns on the left hand of Doctor Strange. In that movie, he ends with the all-seeing eye of Satan in his forehead. They say that's in the after credits. I would get into this, but Doctor Strange is clearly more magical and demonic. And just his positioning here shows you that. Fighting witches and all this stuff, and it's getting more and more and more blatantly spiritualistic. But he enters the multiverse. So if there's a multiverse, it means there's multiple universes, and we're just in one of them. It's not biblical, clearly, but this is how people are going to be introduced to demons because they're going to tell them, look, this being is from another multiverse, another universe, and another dimension, which is really what these multiverse universes are, and that's how they're going to get connected to demons. But let me ask this question. What is our earth in the multiverse? So in Marvel comic books, multiverse, our earth has a number. Every Earth has a number. And in Marvel comic books, the number for our Earth, the one that we are on now, and they believe that there's, you know, they say that there's other Earths. It's entertainment, but this is what they say. And this Earth is Earth 616. And when I saw that, I'd never heard that before. I said, that's interesting. So why 616? What a weird number. Well, here's what Marvel says. You go to Marvel's website. This is what they say about it. They say, however, in a 2020 interview, Thorpe, who helped write all of this stuff, himself seems to settle the entire dispute on some level, agreeing with Davis that he is the one who invented the term Earth 616. Thorpe states that he came up with a number through numerology, of which he was a student at the time, subtracting the number 50 from the number 666, a number tied to Christian theology, to arrive at 616 as the home reality of the Marvel Universe. Though he also accedes that it was indeed Alan Moore who first put the term in print, leading the term to being adopted on a larger scale. So he says that the way that they came up with Earth being Earth 616 is basically you take 616 and you add the number 50, or you take 666 and you subtract the number 50. What does the number 50 represent? Here's what it represents according to numerology. The number 50 represents do as thou wilt. It represents self, personal freedom, expresses its sense of personal freedom. It is the pursuit of whatever may be of interest at the moment becomes of interest without resistance from its inner self or from others. In other words, the number they give the earth is tied to two numbers, 666, the number of the beast, and they subtract the number 50 to show you that as a piece of this is, do what you want. It's a cult. Very numbering of the earth. And so let's jump into Black Panther. So this is the poster from the first Black Panther movie where you're reintroduced. He was in another movie, I think, before that, to King T'Challa and all of these people. And there's a lot of social justice theme, and they stole African artifacts are in Europe. And ultimately, there's one guy who's a bad guy who says, listen, we should use all of the, because this place Wakanda, where they live, is the most advanced civilization on Earth. It has a metal called vibranium. They are scientifically superior and far beyond anyone on Earth. They have weapons that could destroy the Earth. And there are those, which is the bad guy in that movie, is one who says, listen, the Europeans did everybody black so wrong, we should go and exact revenge, destroy the world, use our weapons. And there are some who side with them. That's the fight in that one, is between those two ideas. And that's Black Panther. But you see that he can communicate with the dead. His father dies in one of the Marvel movies. King T'Challa is able to communicate with his dead father. He's able to go to a part of the Wakanda, which is called the Necropolis. They give him a leaf, which is like, you know, something they would do in voodoo. They give him a heart-shaped leaf, and he's able to get all these superpowers, which if I've talked to people who, you know, come from places where they do this kind of stuff, this is all consistent with it. He was first introduced comic book-wise in a Fantastic Four way back in the day. It was back when comics were 12 cents. It was a long time ago, probably back in the 60s. He was first introduced. The Black Panther was introduced there. But what's interesting is they don't tell you this in a movie, but Black Panther is the king of the dead. And here, this is from Marvel Comic Books. He says, so I seek your counsel, honored fathers, warriors, and priests, Black Panthers all. And so he's here speaking to all the Black Panthers throughout history. And they come together in Necropolis to give him advice. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what people are going to use spiritualism for today, to get advice. Fascinating when you think about it. Now, how deep does this go? Here it is. He is not just the king of the dead. He's worshipped as the king of the dead. When he's the king of the dead, he's worshipped. So here he is. He goes into some, I forget why I was reading this thing, why he had to go to this place. But here's Black Panther down here at the bottom. And it's with all these people with their hands raised. Glory and honor. Glory and honor is what it says all the way across. As they worship the Black Panther. Deep. He's worshipped as the king of the dead. I'm about to ask you, who is the king, who claims to be the king of the dead? We'll show you in a second. So here he is speaking to the dead. He says, and here's what they say about death in Black Panther. But there is power in mourning, power my people embrace. For us, death is never really the end, only the closing of a chapter so that a new one might begin. So you don't really die in the Black Panther universe. You just go on and you can see all the dead people there talking to him and dealing with him in the picture. But Black Panther also sold his soul. And this is, in the comic books, he sold his soul to a guy named Mephisto, who is Marvel Comic Books' version of Satan, who has his own realm and he tortures the wicked. I'm going to show you why they want to tie this to God, how they're trying to tie this to God through, you know, basically Catholic false doctrine, right? But he sold his soul to Mephisto. I was reading this in one of the articles. He sold his soul to Mephisto, and he was such, because he's such a pure and holy soul, a perfect soul, not holy, but a pure soul, Black Panther, that Mephisto really wanted his soul. And so when he did that, all of those dead souls of all of the people I showed you in this picture and in the other picture, all of the other Black Panthers, Mephisto would have had to take all of them, and they overpowered Mephisto, and that's how he beat the devil, by selling him his soul. Man, don't try that at home, friends. Don't try that at home. But not only that, Black Panther is a part of Marvel's Illuminati. I wonder if you knew that. And so they introduced the concept of the Illuminati in a recent Marvel movie. I think it was in Doctor Strange. They've introduced this concept of the Illuminati, and here he is. And it says at the top, world's end. And they have the power to end worlds. Right? But it's not just that. They also worship Bast, which is from the Egyptian god Bastet, who was the cat god. So you see a picture here of the panther behind. Here's where they show you. They actually show you this god here. This is from Thor, Love, and Thunder, I think, this picture to the left. And you can just look down here, and there's a picture, I blew it up over here, of a Black woman with cat ears and stuff. And that's Bastet, right? And here's what Bastet does. He worships Bastet. We'll come back to that in a second. But you see where Bastet puts her finger to give him powers and stuff? Right on his forehead. What does the Bible says happens in the forehead? The forehead is where you, in Revelation 7 and verse 1, or in later in Revelation, it is where you either receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast. And here he is getting touched in the forehead. I don't know how I found that particular picture, but you can see that. Here's what the Bible says about all of this. Revelation 16 and verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These we know are apostate Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism. Spiritualism is the glue that ties it all together because the apostate Protestant and the Catholic believe, the Catholic believes you can pray to the dead saints who aren't really, you can't really pray to. Protestants believe when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell, so you can still theoretically commune with those people, right? But so spiritualism is the glue. Here's what Revelation 16, 14 says. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. What is the purpose of this? To grab people and bring them under allegiance to Lucifer so that when probation closes, they are lost. So that 1,000 years after the coming of Christ, that Lucifer, when Satan is unbound from his chains, in the bottomless pit of a destroyed world, he can gather these people to fight against God. And what's interesting is that that's what Black Panther does. That one picture I showed you, he actually goes to a land of the dead, zombies, and uses them to go and fight, I think it's Thanos, the article was saying. He literally does what Satan does in the book of Revelation, gathering the dead to fight zombies, which is exactly what people are going to look like after 1,000 years. They're not going to be whole. They're going to still have all their disease and brokenness and rottenness, and they're going to go to fight against God. And in the comic book, they go to fight against Thanos. Like I said, they try and use these people to be like God so that you grow to hate God. When he talks about spiritualism, John the Revelator, Jesus speaking says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." After he talks about this move of spiritualism in the last days, the deception that happens, the warning that Jesus gives through John the Revelator is, I'm coming as a thief. So while you paying attention to what Marvel's doing, I might be on my way. Ephesians 5, we read from Ephesians about the story of Ephesus where the sons of Sceva did what they did. But here's what Paul actually tells the Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do not let men deceive you with vain words." These are vain words that you're getting in these movies and songs of the day. He said, don't let them deceive you with it. "Be not ye," verse 7, "be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye," verse 8, "for ye were sometimes darkness," you used to be darkness, "but now you're light," verse 8, "in the Lord, walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." You've been called to prove what is acceptable to the Lord, to walk in light, not in darkness. Verse 11, "and have no fellowship," have how much fellowship? "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Have no fellowship," but what? "Reprove them." Letter 36, 1897, Spirit of Prophecy says this: "There is danger in having the least connection with theosophy or spiritualism, even the least connection. It is spiritualism in essence and will always lead in the same path as spiritualism. These are the doctrines that seduce the people whom Christ has purchased with his own blood. You cannot break this spell. You have not yet broken it." What are you going and watching? Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 344. "The popular ministry cannot successfully resist spiritualism." Popular ministry. Those who want to be popular in their ministry, they cannot successfully resist spiritualism, because they want to be popular. "They have nothing wherewith to shield their flocks from the baleful influence. Much of the sad result of spiritualism will rest upon ministers of this age, for they have trampled the truth under their feet and in its stead have preferred fables." Did you get that? Rather than teaching the truth of the Bible, they want to, and I've seen this all online when I was doing this research. There's so many Christians are using Harry Potter and Marvel comic books or whoever, Superman story, and they're using it to make all of these great lessons and teach from all of these places about God and about Why do you need to go to the cesspool of the spiritualism of the world, the entertainment of the world, to teach the truth that the Bible teaches so plainly? It's, oh, well, we want to reach the people of the world. My Bible teaches that God's word cannot go out and come back void. You don't have to come up with some concocted version of truth that is really just paganism veiled under the words of Christianity. Shame on you, preacher of the gospel. Preach God's word and stop mixing in all of this foolishness. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 344. The sermon which Satan preached to Eve upon the immortality of the soul, "You shall not surely die," they have reiterated from the pulpit, and the people receive it as pure Bible truth. It is the foundation of spiritualism. The word of God nowhere teaches that the soul of man is immortal. And you know what happens? They go up there and they say, look, now you got these people with Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about the ancestors, and we got to make the ancestors proud. The ancestors don't know what you're doing. Here's what she finishes. She says, immortality is an attribute of God only. Immortality is an attribute of God only. 1 Timothy 6:16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who has immortality? Only God. You start ascribing immortality to the people who have died that you love, or you start ascribing immortality to fallen heroes, that is not biblical. Only God has that. And this is what Ecclesiastes 9, 4 through 6 says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. No good being dead. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Did you get that? The dead don't know anything. Ecclesiastes 9, 5. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. They don't remember. They can't give advice like you see in the picture here with Black Panther. All the dead Black Panthers are giving him advice. He goes to council. This is satanic imagery. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. They can't come visit you. They can't give you advice. You can go to the seance and try and call up your uncle or your aunt or your mother, or your father. They're not coming. What you're communing with, as I'm about to show you, are demons. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 684, says this. Nearly all forms of ancient sorcery and witchcraft were founded upon a belief in communion with the dead. Those who practiced the art of necromancy, remember the name of the part of Wakanda is a necropolis, it's from the same root word here, necromancy, claimed to have intercourse with departed spirits and to obtain through them a knowledge of future events. This custom of consulting the dead is referred to in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah says in Isaiah 8:19, Ellen White quotes it, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek after their God for the living to the dead? Why are you going to psychics and shaman and all this foolishness? Ought not the people of God seek God? Why are the living going to the dead? So in Wakanda, there's a place called Necropolis. There's one of the pictures from the comic books. They pass through the wall of knowledge, not the wall of the dead, to get to the dead. They pass through the wall of knowledge, which is what Satan said, right? You shall not surely die. You shall be as one who knows good and evil. You're going to gain knowledge. That's literally what's happening here. You don't even pass a tree on the way in there. And this is from Wakanda. This is Wakanda, where there's a king of the dead who is worshipped as the king of the dead. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 344. God's word, rightly understood and applied as a safeguard against spiritualism. An eternally burning hell preached from the pulpit and kept before the people does injustice to the benevolent character of God. It represents him as the veriest tyrant in the universe. And that's what they teach. And Marvel picked up on that and made this guy here, I think his name again is Mephisto, but he's a representative of Satan. He controls and tortures the dead. And so literally when you preach from the pulpit that God burns people in hell forever, what you really are giving is the description from the ancient Greek mythology of how Hades was handled, the place of the dead was handled, where they tortured people. And you're ascribing that to the God of the Bible when the God of the Bible never did that. Never taught that in the word. He says the wicked will be ashes under his feet. They will be burned up, root and branch. Because sin, the Bible says, will never arise the second time. So you have to burn it up. You have to destroy it. If there's still wicked people burning forever and ever, then sin is still with them. Sin has not been destroyed. Signs of the Time, May 28, 1894. Spiritualism is about to take the world captive. There are many who think that spiritualism is upheld through trickery and imposture, but this is far from the truth. There are many today who just think, this spiritualism stuff is no big deal. You know, you can play around with this foolishness. She says, superhuman power is working in a variety of ways, and few have any idea as to what will be the manifestations of spiritualism in the future. She says, the signs and wonders of spiritualism will become more and more pronounced as the professed Christian world rejects the plainly revealed truth of the word of God and refuses to be guided by a plain, thus saith the Lord, accepting instead the doctrines and the commandments of men. Interesting, this last weekend they had this environmental meeting where they went up in Egypt and they went up to Mount Sinai to give out a new Ten Commandments for the environment. Because we do not preach a simple thus saith the Lord, the pastors now don't believe in investigative judgment. They don't believe in 1844. They don't believe what the Bible teaches on prophecy. They don't want to hear what the Bible preaches on dress reform or diet reform. None of it. Because of that, they're going to accept instead the doctrines and the commandments of men. Through rejecting, she continues, light and truth, many are deciding their destiny for eternal death. And as men reject truth, the Spirit of God will gradually withdraw itself from the earth. And the prince of this earth will have more and more control over his subjects. He will show great signs and wonders as credentials of his divine claims. And through spiritualism, will work against Christ and his agencies. And isn't it interesting that we are now bringing spiritualism into the church? Yoga, meditation, Marvel. Christ Christian Education, page 35, says this. Among the most dangerous resorts for pleasure is the theater. Isn't that deep? She's talking about the old school theater, not a movie theater. She's talking about a theater where people went up there and did acts. They had nothing on this computer-generated cinematography of today. So let's read what she says about that theater and you can apply it to this one. Among the most dangerous resorts for pleasure is the theater. Instead of being a school of morality and virtue as is so often claimed, it is a very hotbed of immorality. Vicious habits and sinful propensities are strengthened and confirmed by these entertainments. Low songs, lewd gestures, expressions, and attitudes deprave the imagination and debase the morals. Every youth who habitually attend such exhibitions will be corrupted in principle. And I have another talk where I show you that when the kids see more sex scenes, they're more likely to start having sex and having a reckless sex at an earlier age. There's studies that showed it. If they listen to music that's very sexual in its nature, the same is true. By beholding, we become changed. Christian Education, page 35, continues, there is no influence in our land more powerful to poison the imagination, to destroy religious impressions, and to blunt the relish for the tranquil pleasures, and sober realities of life than theatrical amusements. The love for these scenes increases with every indulgence, and the desire for intoxicating drink, as the desire for intoxicating drink strengthens with its use. The only safe course is to shun the theater, the circus, and every other questionable place of amusement. Not speaking to a very ineffective, by comparison, means of entertainment and amusement. They had to go up on stage and act and sing and play the music. They couldn't have Thanos with computer-generated imagery. Imagine what this is doing. Black Panther has a pantheon of gods. This is the Orisha. I was going to show the names of them, but I would be wasting my time. The symbolism that they use is all significance. Everything from the onyx here, this triangle over here, it all has meaning and symbolism. This is one author's, they drew the picture of them. This is the gods that they worship. Here's what Ellen White says about this god worship business that is in Black Panther. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 684. The gods of the heathen were believed to be the deified spirits of departed heroes. And that's a big part of what they teach in Black Panther about these departed heroes. Thus, the religion of the heathen was a worship of the dead. And that's what we talk, Black people are talking a lot more about now. People leaving the church for ancestor worship. One of the Black Lives Matter people that I quote in one of my sermons, she literally says she'd never heard about ancestor worship, and now she's into it. Thus, the religion of the heathen was a worship of the dead. This is evident from the scriptures. In the account of the sin of Israel at Beth Peor, it is stated, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, Numbers 25, 1 through 3. The psalmist tells us what kind of gods these sacrifices were offered. Speaking of the same apostasy of the Israelite, he says, they joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Psalm 106, 28. That is, sacrifices that had been offered to the dead. Pour out libations even to this day. Watch this. The deification of the dead has held a prominent place in nearly every system of heathenism, as has also the supposed communion with the dead. The gods were believed to communicate their will to men, and also, when consulted, to give them counsel. Of this character were the famous oracles of Greece and Rome. Now, here's where it gets deep. So, Ellen White makes it clear. If you think you're worshiping a god, you're really worshiping a devil. And here's Black Panther bowing and worshiping Bast, this cat, Egyptian cat, that was really Bastet in Egypt. Bast, who gives him his powers. This is the panther god who is, I believe, in matter of fact, they say, I was reading one of the articles in the first scene of the latest Black Panther movie. I have not seen it, but in the first scene they said, the sister of the main character is, who used to be the main character, is praying to Bastet, this very god. So who are they praying to, church? You really want to be entertained by people praying to devils? Psalms 106, verse 36 and 37 says, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Did you get that? They sacrificed their sons and daughters. Are we sacrificing our children to devils, exposing them to this stuff? And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. You go into those restaurants and stuff, and they got a picture, a statue of a Buddha or something. They got food underneath it. Who are they? The Bible says they're not sacrificing to the statue. They sacrifice to the devils. They sacrifice the devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with the devils. You're not supposed to have fellowship with the devils. Paul continues, says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord, verse 21, and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? What are you playing with, church? Come out of this foolishness. It's a dark road to Wakanda. And I know, as Black people, you know, we've had all the oppression and we're happy to see our faces on the big screen. Let me tell you something. Do not fall into pride and self-exaltation. So that Black people have a face in this world. This world is not your home. This world is going to be destroyed. And some of us are so bent on race that we get sucked into this stuff. And by this, the devil, just as he did at Baal Peor, the devil is able to take the people of God and lead them into darkness. It's a dark road to Wakanda. Yet even churches buying up theaters and tickets to send people there. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Folk don't read their Bible. Don't come to prayer meeting. Never been to Sabbath school. But they'll be right there sitting to watch Wakanda forever. Go back to Acts chapter 19, verse 16 to wrap this up. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You see, the sons of Sceva thought they could go into that house with a marginal understanding of who Christ is and deal with the demons. Some of us go into these spiritualistic things. We go and watch some of the spiritualistic stuff. We play around with this stuff. And we think, like the sons of Sceva, we can prevail against them. And what we don't realize is we're the ones who are going to be whooped and become wounded and naked. What does it mean to be wounded and naked? Naked means that they're going to see your shame. You will not have on the robe of Christ's righteousness. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Come and confess. Give up this stuff. Walk away from the foolishness. Verse 19, many of them also which had used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Time to burn and get rid of this stuff. So that God's word, as in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Church, let the word of God prevail in your life. Put this stuff down. Study a Bible. Get into some heavy Bible study. There are plenty of good videos if you want to watch them that will teach you of what is coming in this, what is happening and coming upon this world as this world wraps up. Don't take the dark road to Wakanda. That's the road that's popular where everybody's going. The road we ought to take is straight and narrow, and few there be that walk thereon. I'm not looking to go to a city on earth that's powerful. I'm looking to go to a city in the celestial realm, a new Jerusalem, with a sea of glass and streets of gold, where Christ is ruler of all, not King T'Challa. My allegiance is there. Because Wakanda will not last forever, but the kingdom of our Lord will. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to bring this sermon out. I thank you for the word of truth that is in the Bible. And I just pray for those who hear this, Lord, that they would take time to really think about the impact that Hollywood and these movies are having on them. Help us, Father God, to be wise in following you in these things. Lord, help us to remove from us the desire for this foolishness. This is our prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.